Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 30. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 352. We'll be reading one verse only from this 30th chapter of 1 Samuel. And that would be the 6th verse. Then we'll turn to two other passages at my later direction. But first of all, 1 Samuel, chapter 30 and verse 6. Let's stand together, please, as we read the Word of God. And let's begin together, please, there on verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Turn now to 2 Samuel, chapter 11, page 366 in your Schofield Bible, the 11th chapter and the 25th verse. Verse 25, we'll read that also together. And let's read. Then David said unto the messenger, Thus shalt thou say unto Joab, Let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. Let's turn now to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah 41 and verse 7. That's page 749 in your Schofield Bible. 749. We'll read the 7th verse of Isaiah 41. Let's read it, please. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering, and he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this blessed day. Thank you for the good weather. Thank you for the sunshine. Thank you for that which we can have always with us, whether foul weather or fair, that which shines from within of thy Spirit. We pray that you'd help us now as we mingle our fellowship and our spirits as one, that we might hear from heaven today through the man of God. We pray that you'd help our preacher and help us each as we once again are privileged to be here in this place to hear thy word and to experience the wonderful things that go on here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. May I ask you please to sit up straight and listen carefully. I want to speak this morning on the subject how David encouraged himself. It says in one of our texts this morning that David encouraged himself. Now, there are many ways he did that, but I think the supreme way is the one I'm going to speak about this morning. I want to read for you, without your turning to it, one passage read a while ago. So the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and he that smootheth with the hammer, him that smote with the anvil, saying, It is ready for the soldering. And he fastened it with nails, that it should not be moved. Let me paraphrase that, if you would, please. And the carpenter and the goldsmith encouraged each other. Or, the carpenter encouraged the goldsmith, and the goldsmith encouraged the carpenter. Listen to me. I hear this occasionally. Brother Hiles, nobody came to see me when I had a problem. Nobody came to see me when I was sick. It seemed like nobody cared. Or, no one cared for my son, and my son was in trouble. I've gotten 4 or 5 letters in the last few months saying, I believe if somebody had cared for my son, I believe he could have made it. Somebody, oftentimes they say, my child was mistreated. People often ask me, well, I mean, at 73, and then nearer 74, there's not a preacher in America that has as many loyal followers. I don't mean as many adherents. I mean followers. I mean as many preachers across the country. Nobody draws the preachers we draw to a pastor school, for example.
Now, why do they come? Why do these men come? Many of them come to encourage me. Now, why do they come to encourage me? You know, a lot of you people are laying aside, and you should. You're laying aside money for your senior years. But there's something this morning that you're not laying aside, many of you, for your senior years, and I want to help you. I hope you'll listen very, very carefully. Father, bless me as I speak this morning. I want to be a blessing to the people, and I'd like to think that what I say this morning will give some happiness and joy in decades to come to people because they heed what will be preached from this pulpit today. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know whether you understand this or not, but I do not speak just casually when I preach. I prepare my sermons. I prepare them carefully. And what I say is said purposely because I want to help you. But you paralyze my effectiveness if you don't listen. And so I ask you this morning to listen carefully. Without turning to it, in Deuteronomy 3:28, and again in Deuteronomy 1:38, Moses asked the people to encourage his successor, Joshua. It was Joshua who became the leader of the people upon the death of Moses. And Moses asked the people to encourage Joshua. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 25, David asked the people to encourage Joab. Joab was a follower of David, but also a leader of the people. And David, it'd be like me asking the people to encourage Brother Colston, as I do, by the way. But David asked the people to encourage another one of their leaders, who was, in fact, under, as far as authority was concerned, David himself. In 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 2, King Joaz encourages the priests. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 4, Hezekiah, one of the greatest kings ever sat on the throne of Judah, Hezekiah encouraged the priest and the Levites. In Isaiah 41 and verse 7, the carpenters encouraged the goldsmiths, and of course the goldsmiths in turn encouraged the carpenters. In 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6, it says that David encouraged himself. Now listen to me carefully. Nobody talking. Nobody moving around. Everybody listening. Put all these verses together, and you have this conclusion. The leaders are to encourage followers. The followers are to encourage leaders. The leaders are to encourage other leaders. The followers are to encourage each other, and all are to encourage themselves. Let me take the word encourage for a few moments and let you know that the Bible word encourage is not the same word that we use for encourage. We say to encourage somebody means to lift their spirits or make them happier lift them if you please. But the Bible word encourage means what the word encourage means. It's not talking about comfort. It's talking about instilling courage. It's talking about we are to instill courage in each other. Courage to face life. Courage to face death. Courage to face illness. Courage to face battles. Courage to face heartbreak. Courage to face pain. Courage to face criticism. Courage to face shattered dreams. Courage to face bereavement. Courage to face sorrow. Courage to face attacks. That's what it means to encourage. The carpenters, let me give you my text now. The carpenters encourage the goldsmiths, and the goldsmiths encourage the carpenters. Or, let me give you a little better translation, better rendition. The carpenters kept encouraging the goldsmiths, and the goldsmiths kept encouraging the carpenters. It didn't mean one day the carpenters encouraged the goldsmiths. It meant that every day the carpenters encouraged the goldsmiths. So the carpenters kept on encouraging the goldsmiths, and the goldsmiths kept on encouraging the carpenters. Let me give you a better wording than that. The carpenters, hear me now, the carpenters encouraged the goldsmiths so the goldsmiths could encourage the carpenters. Or let's go a step further. The best wording I can give you, the carpenters encouraged the goldsmiths Then the goldsmiths could encourage the carpenters because the carpenters had encouraged them. Then the goldsmiths encouraged the carpenters so the carpenters could encourage the goldsmiths. So then the goldsmiths can encourage the carpenters so the carpenters can encourage the goldsmith. So the goldsmith could encourage the, so the goldsmith could give courage to the carpenters so the carpenters could give courage to the goldsmith. So the carpenters, hear me carefully, here's the sermon in one little line. The carpenters, by encouraging the goldsmith, were building encouragers for themselves. I'm talking to some people this morning. When you get old like I am, nobody's going to encourage you. You're going to be sitting in a rest home rotting by yourself. And one reason is you have not built for yourself a company of encouragers. Now, how do you build for yourself a company of encouragers? While you're in your best days of life, you encourage somebody else so they, when you need encouragement or need courage to face something, can likewise encourage you. So that means the wise leader, hear me now, the wise leader, and I'm giving you something this morning, I need more to you when you get old than all of the stocks and bonds and savings and retirement plans you have. I don't care if you're prepared financially for your future, you get old. If you're a rich person dying from a rest home and nobody caring about you, all your money will be to no avail to you. I'm asking you this morning to make an investment for your retirement days, for your days of discouragement, for your battles, for your heartaches. And sit up straight. You ladies get your heads off your husband's shoulders and sit up straight. Not smooching time, it's churching time here. So, the wise leader will encourage his follower. So, his follower can encourage him. Likewise, the wise follower will encourage his leader. So his leader will be able to encourage him. Likewise, the wise leader will encourage other leaders. So other leaders can encourage him. So the wise leader is encouraging those who other leaders and his followers and building him a company of encouragers when he faces his battles. The wise follower will encourage other followers. So the other followers will encourage him. Illustration. For 40 years, you've kept me going. So I can stand up here and keep you going. So I've stood up here to keep you going so you could encourage me to keep me going. So the truth is, are you listening? The truth is, when you encourage me, you're encouraging yourself. And that's the way David encouraged himself. David encouraged his followers. Read the Psalms and see how he encouraged all of us. David encouraged his followers. And in so doing, when the dark days came and the heartaches came, David had built a company of encouragers to encourage him. And you folks that live for yourself, never lift anybody's spirits, never help anybody face the future, never help anybody face heartache, you just wait till your heartache comes. You wait till your time comes. And you'll face your burden by yourself because you have not built a company of encouragers to encourage you because you've not spent your life encouraging somebody else. Boy, that's good. For 40 years, you have kept me going so I could keep you going, so you could keep me going, so I could keep you going. For 40 years, I have given you courage so you could give me courage, so I could give you courage, so you could give me courage, so I could give you courage. I encourage these men on the platform, best men in America right here on the platform, best staff in the whole world. I encourage them. And in practically every case, these men have had days they've had to face some dark hours and some battles and discouragements and heartbreak. And in their heartbreak, I have encouraged them. Now, what have I done? I have built a group of men who, when my heartbreak comes, they likewise encourage me. But if I were selfish for my own self, then I said, I don't want you to love these men. I don't want you putting these men before me. I would not be encouraging you to encourage them. But they are my strength. They are my comforters. They are my encouragers. They lift up my hands as did Aaron and Hur lift up the hands of Moses. Now the reason that they lift up my hands, because when they're down, I lift up their hands. I encourage them so they can encourage me. So I can encourage them. They keep me up so I can keep them up so they can keep me up so I can keep them up. Boy, this is good stuff. I hope you'll get what I'm talking about this morning. So, Dr. Evans, in encouraging the college students is building up encouragers for himself. And in the college students, when they encourage Dr. Evans, are building a stronger man to stand before them in the pulpit of the Evans Auditorium at Howells Henderson College, and Dr. Evans can encourage them. But you let Dr. Evans quit encouraging them, and they will not encourage him. Or you let them quit encouraging him, and he cannot encourage them. I'm trying to say this morning, the faculty should encourage the students so they'll have a student body that can encourage the faculty. And the faculty should encourage each other so the other faculty members can encourage you. And the students should encourage other students also so the other students can encourage you. Quit being so all-fired selfish, and you can be selfish one of these days. If you live your lives encouraging those who follow you or those who lead you, one day you're going to need courage to face death, to face serious illness, to face heartbreak, to face a child that's broken your heart. You're going to need somebody to give you courage to face life. But you won't have anybody unless you've invested encouragement in others, so you're building up a company of people to encourage you when your heartbreak comes. I stand behind this pulpit. And at home, I encourage this beautiful blonde up here, Mrs. Hiles. And then in turn, she encourages me. But you let me get up here some 4 or 5 Sundays in a row and have self-pity and cry and moan and groan, and I'll get her down and she can't encourage me. That's what some of you fellas, you go home and tend to gripe to your wife and gripe to your wife, wonder why she gripes to you. What you're doing is you are discouraging your encourager. Ladies and gentlemen, why don't you decide to live for others? And when you decide to live for others, then when your time comes, others will live for you. 40 years and 8 months ago, tomorrow. No, sorry, today. 40 years and 8 months ago today, Mrs. Hiles and I walked in this church as pastor and wife for the first time. We had a wonderful year, the first year. We grew from 700 in Sunday school to an average of 1,100. And during that time, I encouraged you. I lifted you. I helped you face, I gave you courage to face life. I gave you courage to face death. I gave you courage to face your battles. And then, 40 years ago, 39 years ago, I hit the battle. As you mentioned a while ago, the administrative reorganization, what a pussyfooting way to put it. Bloody battle is the best way to put it. You know why I'm behind this pulpit today? I'm behind this pulpit today because you encouraged me when I was down. But let's go further. You wouldn't have encouraged me when I was down and faced my battle if I hadn't encouraged you the first year I got here. I encouraged you and gave you strength to encourage me. I'm not talking about just lifting spirits. I'm talking about facing battles. And one of these days, you're going to face the wall. One of these days, you're going to have a broken heart and you won't be able to take it, but somebody's going to come and help you, give you courage to face the wall. But the truth is, you won't have anybody to keep on living your selfish, self-centered life where you're not concerned about encouraging anybody else. That's why you said, nobody cared for me when I had a problem. You had not built up a company of encouragers. You hadn't strengthened enough people to encourage you by encouraging them. So, I hate even bringing this up. For 30 years, I encouraged you. I kept you going. And I hesitate to say this, but tomorrow is a very traumatic day for me. 11 years ago tomorrow, I entered the battle of my life. And you stood with me like the rock at Gibraltar. And I'll never forget it, and don't you think I'll ever forget it. I owe my ministry to you. But you encouraged me. To stay in there. The notes I got, I'm thinking about. Stay in there, Brother Hiles. Don't quit. Keep on going. And you gave me courage. Why? Because for 30 years, I stood behind this woman and gave you some courage. Oh, you want to get courage, but you don't want to give courage, but nobody's going to encourage you unless you invest encouragement in others when they face the wall. You wait till this man right here gets bad sick. You wait till this man right here is in the hospital with a serious illness. I promise you, they'll have to hire more people at the receptionist place, because this man will be flooded with people to say, hang in there, Brother Johnny. You know why? Because for 35 years, he stood by your bedside. He stood at the pulpit and preached the funerals of your loved ones. He's held your hand while you cried and while you said goodbye to the dearest of life. And you wait till this man faces it, brother. I promise you, they won't be able to take care of the visitors in the hospital when the Colston gets there. I hate to say this, but I had a dream last night. I'm trying to encourage you. How many folks have you lifted? How many folks have you strengthened? Yeah, oh boy, when your kid gets in trouble at school, nobody cared about my kid. He asked the question, how many kids did you care about before your kid got in trouble? The gripers are those people have no one to come to their side because they have not built up a company of encouragers by encouraging people. And let me tell you again, more important than your retirement plan, more important than your life insurance, is for you, while you live your life, to spend your life saying, you can make it. You can do it. I'm for you. I'm pulling for you. I believe you can face it. I think you can endure it. And then one day, when you face the battle, you'll have folks to come to you, as I've had as an older person, and encourage you. But you're not going to live a life that's selfish, worried about just your own needs. And one of these days, be encouraged when you face the wall. Boy, I could help you this morning. What I'm giving you is more important than your retirement plan, more important than your KEO, your IRA, more important than your retirement plan at work, more important than your life insurance. And so, the reason you stood by me 30 years ago, 11 years ago tomorrow, is because for 30 years, I had said, you can make it. You can make it. I've stood here behind the pulpit and said it. I've told you in my office and said it. I've held your hands and said it. You can do it. You can do it. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And there are times have I used that scripture. God will not put a load on you that you cannot bear. And now then I came to the place where I had a load I thought I couldn't bear. And thank God, hallelujah, I encourage you to take your load, and you encourage me to take my load. For years, my mama kept me going. And then one day, I had to start keeping her going. A few years ago, I preached a sermon entitled, Don't Discourage Your Encourager. I told you in that sermon that the Holy Spirit is your encourager, comforter, encourager. I also told you in that sermon that you can discourage him. For Ephesians 4, 38 through 32 says that you can grieve or discourage the Holy Spirit. Now, how can I discourage him? It says it in Ephesians 4, 31. Bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, and malice. Hear me carefully. You gossips, you discourage the Holy Spirit. You critics, you discourage the Holy Spirit. You that have hatred in your heart, you discourage the Holy Spirit. And then you come to a battle or sorrow, heartache, and you want God to encourage you. But pardon the expression, you got him blue. He can't get you on top side because you have discouraged your encourager. How can I encourage him? The Bible says by kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness. The little lady sat in office Friday. Been a member here for a third of a century at least. She said these words to me, and I reveled in them and rejoiced in them again and again. I do not know the exact words, but here's what basically what she said. She said, Pastor, as you've grown older, it's so obvious that your love is manifested in the pulpit more than it has been. She said, as you've grown older, You can just feel the love coming from the pulpit to the people. That's what I'm here for. And that's what all of us are here. All of us are here for. It is our job to say to people, hang in there, boy. You can make it. I'm pulling for you. I'm by your side. I'm joining hands. I'm shoulder to shoulder with you. And you can make it. And then one of these days, you won't have to say, well, nobody cared about me when I was in trouble. Nobody came to see my husband. Tell you why they didn't. You spent your life thinking about yourself. Now you listen to me. You think about other people. Encourage other people. And the day is going to come when you'll find a company of encouragers to lift you, help you face tomorrow. For 40 years plus, I have stood here and encouraged you in heartache after heartache, in your battle after battle. I've tried to give you courage to face life. I've tried to give you courage to face death. I've tried to give you courage to face illness. I've tried to give you courage to face your battles. I've tried to give you courage to face your heartache and heartbreak. I've tried to give you courage to face your pain. I've tried to give you courage to face criticism. I've tried to give you courage to face your shattered dreams. I've tried to give you courage to face bereavement. I've tried to give you courage to face sorrow. I've tried to give you courage to face attacks. And in so doing, hear me now, what I've been doing is been giving you vitamins. Spiritual vitamins strengthen you so when all of a sudden I faced it, you encouraged me. And you gave me courage to face life. And you gave me courage to face death. And you gave me courage to face illness. And you gave me courage to face battles. And you gave me courage to face heartbreak. And you gave me courage to face pain. And you gave me courage to face bereavement. And you gave me courage to face shattered dreams. And you gave me courage to face sorrow. And you gave me courage to face attacks. Why? I gave you courage so you could face these things. So you could give me courage when I face these things. So I could give you courage when you face this thing. Now this morning, okay, when I was about 40 years old, all of a sudden it dawned on me, if I dropped dead in this house, that'd be there again before the funeral to afford the expenses. And all of a sudden it dawned on me. I didn't have anything for her laid aside. And a little bit at a time, I started taking care of this house's future. Don't misunderstand me. If I'd passed away 10 years ago, 5 years ago, or a year ago, this house could not live quite the standard of living we live now, but she wouldn't starve. And she'd have a nice condominium to live in. And a nice car to drive. This house could have some form of life. Why? Because I prepared for it. Now likewise, I'd like to prepare for the future strength. I'd like to prepare for the future courage. And I have invested, just like I have invested a few dollars here and there, so she could be cared for, or we could be cared for in case I was incapacitated. Likewise, bless God, for 54 years, I've stood behind pulpits and I've tried to say, you can do it. How many times have you been? You can, you can, you can, you can, you can. And then all of a sudden, I am knocked down and you walk up to me and say, preacher, you can, you can, you can. Why? I said you could, so you say I could. I've kept you going so you could keep me going. So I could keep you going so you could keep me going. And this is how David encouraged himself. He built an army of encouragers who in turn encouraged him. Abishai. This means nothing to most of you. Jonathan. Came to David's side in the darkest hours of his life. Why? Because David had come to the side of so many others in the darkest hours of their lives. I challenge you this morning. I challenge you to start a new life. Mrs. Hiles is admired, justly so. And people encourage her tremendously. But you have got the foggiest idea how very quietly, in the background, she spent her life encouraging people. I'm afraid more than I have. You have no idea how thoughtful she is of people. I was thinking this morning of some of our older people. I mentioned Mary Ruth Harrington every once in a while. Mary Ruth Harrington was 81 years of age recently. And she's got an army of adult ladies, middle age and down, who love her to death. And do you know why they love her to death? Because for one whole year, they were in her Sunday school class. And she loved them to death. And she'll not face, as she is her senior years, forgotten, discouraged, lonely. Why? Because while she was in the busy days of her life, she did not forget others who were facing their senior years and facing their battles and facing their heartaches. And so I close to say this morning. On a very tender day in my life, I thank you for your keeping me going. And I hope I've kept you going. For my desire is to encourage you so you can encourage me, so I can encourage you. My desire is to say you can, so you will, so you can say, so can you. So I will, so I can say, so can you. More important than your Social Security check, more important than your retirement plan, more important than your term insurance policy, for the future of you and your family is for you to invest encouragement through life. And one of these days, the check will come in every day, not every month, because you have encouraged others. They will encourage you. Shall we pray together, please?